Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled Pioneering.
So here we now have the story of Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and coming against people that are oppressing him. And a lot of that psalm really felt like it was also, it could have been Nehemiah saying it as we read it. So thank you, Marilyn, for telling us this story.
Now, when it was reported to Sanballat and to Tobiah and to Geshem the Arab and to the rest of our enemies that I had built the wall and that there was no gap left in it, though up to that time I had not set up the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But they intended to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, "I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it to come down to you?" They sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. In the same way, Sanballat, for the fifth time, sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you are building the wall. And according to this report, you wish to become their king. You have also set up prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you. There is a king in Judah, and now it will be reported to the king according to these words. So come, therefore, and let us confer together." Then I sent to him, saying, "No such things as you say have been done. You are inventing them out of your own mind, for they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands." One day, when I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, son of Mehatabel, who was confined to his house, he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, tonight they are coming to kill you." But I said, "Should a man like me run away? Would a man like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." Then I perceived and saw that God had not sent him at all, but he had pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired for this reason, to intimidate me and to make me sin by acting in this way, and so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Nodiah, and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, son of Arah. And his son, Jehoiachin, had married the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah. Also, they spoke of his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. Now, when the wall had been built and I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers, the singers and the Levites had been appointed. I gave my brother Hanai charge over Jerusalem, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. And I said to them, the gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot, while the gatekeepers are still standing guard. Let them shut and bar the doors. Appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, some at their watch posts and others before their own houses. The city was wide and large, but the people within it were few, and no houses had been built. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well done, Marilyn. There's some tricky names in there that I just struggled with. Thank you very much. A long story. So now we have Romans 15, 14, 21. Thank you, Leslie.
Paul, the minister to the Gentiles. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become offerings acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Jesus Christ in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what the Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of slogans and wonders, through the wonder of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully pronounced the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on somebody else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So here we have Nehemiah, who's been sent, who's had permission to go and rebuild the walls. And it seems like a ridiculous task, really. They've got a lot of work to do. The walls are utterly destroyed, and the houses haven't even been built within the city. And he goes there and finds a remnant of God's people left. And so he's got limited people and time, because the people around them are scared about the power that Jerusalem used to have, will again, if their walls have come complete and are defended. And so he has all these people oppressing him, and there's various tactics used here, isn't there? There's like, come, let's meet together, and trying to draw him out of the walls, trying to meet him in their territory. And he knows it's a trick, and he's got people being paid within his people to, you know, make him look weak, to run to the temple for shelter, even though he doesn't need to. And then there's this trick of writing to the king and telling him that he's trying to make himself a king. You know, there's all these like underhand spies and corruption, and all this is going on while he's trying to desperately rebuild this wall, and they stay up night and day. And it's an incredible story, this rebuild, because it, you know, it just goes against, if you look at something that's desolate and just broken, and you see the amount of effort that has to go into it, I wonder how many of us would jump into that, especially with all the enemies surrounding it and the corruption, you know, the stuff that's happening to you. It's enough to wear you down and go, you know what, forget it, I'm just going to go wander the hills. Like, that would be my temptation, wouldn't it? There are times when actually God calls us to stick in there, and maybe things aren't going well, or you're part of a group that just isn't growing, or you're frustrated that something hasn't worked out that God's promised, and I think we're just being called, keep going. And so in many ways, he was a pioneer because he's out there alone trying to do it. And now we have Paul, and he talks here about not building on other people's work. He's always feel like he's called to the Gentiles to bring the gospel. And I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. So he's not saying, he's going to, and it's a tricky situation because he's talking about going back into Rome, and there will be others there that have gone before him. But it's a big city, and he knows there's lots of people that need to be reached for Christ. So he's there, and he's going there to reach them, really. He doesn't want to fill other people's shoes, other ministries that have started. He doesn't want to hijack them. And so he's very much a pioneer where he goes, where the Spirit leads, and he sees a new horizon. He sees, later on he speaks about going to Spain, and we're not sure he ever got there, but he always has this dream of going further and further for God. And I like that, because so often I think we think of ourselves as, we need to reach people in our neighborhood. Oh, maybe our town, maybe the country, that's a bit big, maybe Europe. What about the world? There's this whole idea, it's expansive, isn't it? And maybe God will never take us to the edges of the world, whatever that might mean for you, or to the town, or to the earth. But I think it's the posture. It's the way of looking. It's the way of seeing the need that people have for God and for Jesus, and actually journeying in that direction. It doesn't matter, I think, where you end up. It's more about your journeying towards introducing people to Jesus and doing something different. And we're all called to pioneer in our own way. So we all have a stereotype of a pioneer. When I say the word pioneer, often at the moment, lots of things like fresh expressions, the people that are trained as pioneers through CMS will pop into mind, and that might feel intimidating, like, wow, they're totally tooled up. I'm not, I'll just leave it to them. Yeah, that's and it's such an easy response, that frame of mind to be. So, and often we might think of the stereotype of a pioneer as being those that first arrived in North America. Let me just read you a little bit about the pioneers in North America. So it's amazing what they achieved in recent history, actually. So they navigated uncharted rivers, climbed mountains, not even named until that point. They carved roads through dense forests, and taken whole wagon trains across seemingly unending plains, through steep passes on and on for thousands of miles. At each point, they faced dangers they couldn't foresee. They tried to grow crops without knowing if the soil was right. Can you imagine that? Putting seed into a soil, and that was your food source, and not even knowing if it was going to work. Man, the risk is just... they endured extremes of heat and cold. They had to rely on their wits and their sheer brute strength to see them through. So in that sense, the word pioneer has got a real ring of excitement, but it can also feel very intimidating. Now, there's a guy called Dave Mayle who's written this book, How to Pioneer If You Haven't Got a Clue. And he kind of dismantles a lot of the myths that surround it, but also points to people who are actually pioneers without knowing it, because it's often the way that people see the world or fall into doing stuff. And I'm going to call you out here, Lynn, but when I was doing the training, I thought of you as a pioneer. It might make you laugh, but the way you have, during the COVID, the way you went for the whole digital church thing, and you didn't just sit back and think, oh, this is a job for young people to go and, I don't even know how to edit the website, but you went and you learned how to do a podcast, turn this into a Bible bite, put it up on the website, and now you're learning how to do this on a Friday. And it's that whole but it wasn't just because you thought this was a cool thing to do, or it was because you had a heart for people who hadn't yet heard the gospel. You had a heart, this could reach, this is walls down time, this is time to share, this is time. And that heart then pulls you into doing new things. And I've seen you do that in a variety of ways. So you're doing the silent retreats, you're doing bus trips, you're doing, you got this idea of the quiet day at St. James coming up in September. I think that's, your pioneer spirit. You're calling people into engaging with Christ in new ways that they might not have had before. So Lynn, everyone, we have a pioneer in our presence here, and I think it's wonderful. So, and but it is small things like that, and I bet we've all done pioneering stuff in our lives. We've all had times when actually we just feel like we're pulled because we want to share the good news with people, and it could be with a neighbor, it could be with the people around you. And actually, often I think we disempower ourselves by saying, that's someone else's job to do. So why isn't the church doing this for this person or for me or for this group? But actually the question we should be asking is, I am the church. What am I going to do? God's placed these people on my heart. Okay, I feel upset. I feel angry. I feel frustrated. Maybe God's putting a fire in my heart for a certain people group or for a certain person. And instead of, it can often come out as venting at the church. Like, you know, we need to do more of this. And actually, that might be a chance for you to reflect and think, actually, what steps do I need to take to help us do more of this? Whatever that this is. It could be a tiny thing like serving coffee somewhere or opening the doors to the church or, you know, anything. And that's the idea with pioneering. It's creative. And also, it's not hijacking other things, is it? We're not trying to reach people who are already Christian. We're trying to reach people who've never heard this gospel message before. And I think if we carry on doing things the way we've always done them, then nothing will change. Like the church is declining, and if we want to reach a different type of people, then we need to do things differently. So we have Nehemiah and Paul and Lynn this morning. I hope you don't mind me embarrassing you there.
Can I share something?
Pardon?
Can I share something?
Yes, please do, Marilyn.
I was reading in Proverbs chapter 16 yesterday, and this verse, verse 3, really jumped out at me. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. And it just seems so relevant for what we've been talking about today as well. But it just spoke to me, whatever we do, commit to the Lord, commit everything we do. And that was really quite a challenge to me, but such a blessing as well.
Yeah, thank you. So let's pray for pioneers, let's pray for the people that need to hear your word, but let's also pray for church leaders, because I think when often pioneers can have a dissenting voice, they can be asking the hard questions, and when you hear that as a church leader, it can often be like, oh, I need to do more. I'm already busy, but I need to do this. So I had a couple come to me recently, and they've got children with special needs, and they say, you know, it'd be great to do an accessible church service for young children. I'm like, yes, that's great. But in my head, I'm like, how do I fit that in amongst all this other stuff? And it's so easy then just to let it slide or let it slip. And so pray the church leaders that we have energy to hear those voices that are asking for more, have ideas, and to journey with people, to have the energy and the time to journey with people and not to take it on themselves. So let's pray. God, I thank you for these stories. How you created nothing, you know, how you created something out of nothing, how you created order out of chaos, and how from the very start, your nature is creation, it's pioneering. And Lord, throughout human history, we have had real moments where people have pioneered into new times, new spaces, and for you, it's been done again throughout Christian history, where the missionaries have gone out into uncharted territory with the gospel, not knowing what's going to happen. And Lord, it feels like that again in this country, where we are called to journey out, where we are called to go beyond our comfort and our ability and trust in you totally. So Lord, forgive us when we remain in our comfort zones, when we feel like, you know, this is a job for someone else. And just stir in us a passion and a fire that will see us through the journey, through the hardships that are to come. Because there will be times when people might oppresses in ways that are small, but like little remarks or jealous remarks or whatever. Lord, would your spirit remind us of the truth? And the truth is that we are trying to reach people for you. It's not about building up our name. Paul was always like, it's not about the leaders' names, it's about Jesus. Absolutely. We're just boasting what Jesus has done through us. God, would you help us to hear that voice, hear that cry of the oppressed, the people that really need you, the sick that need the doctor? Well, would you take us to them? Open up our hearts and our hands to your work today, Lord. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.